Okay, Rabosai. Today's daf. Well, first of all, good morning. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin. My gosh. Looks like we're soon going to have to say goodbye to Gittin. This is a disaster. Just as we're getting into things. Okay, so we've been involved in a very curious perek so far, and we've spoken about all types of subliminal issues, shading issues, interrelationships with various medications, and we'll soon hopefully get back to our Mishnah, but we're still in the midst of these medications, which I would like to sum up after we finish in a couple of minutes. So let's see, I think we got up to just L'chazazit, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm reviewing the L'chazazit, so I'm sure you won't be upset. Okay, so L'chazazit is, as we know, Rashi says L'chazazit, there's L'chazazit mitzvah, it's a type of boil, and it is a very problematic one, because as it says in the Gemara, the outside of it is like skin, but the inside of it is very dry, it's difficult to get rid of. So L'ayti shev chiti arzanyata, so you bring some nice fat wheat kernels and you put them on a mara. Mara is a shovel or a hoe, and it has to be new. You roast them on this shovel. Whatever you squeeze out as an oil that comes out from the heated chitim, you put that over your chazazit. And actually, there was a guy who had some marks of tzaras, and he used it, this same thing, for that, and it worked. Vitase. Omar Shmuel. There's also questions that are not internal illnesses, but that are brought upon a person through poisons or stings or whatever. So we need to deal with a few of those too. Somebody was stabbed by a spear that the Persians make, and they always use this poisonous substance they put over their spears. So he's certainly not going to live, because it doesn't matter. Once it penetrates your skin, you're dead. But we could get him, perhaps, to survive long enough to be able to leave a last will and testament. So, on his way to dying, you should make him a nice, again, bisur shmeina gumre, that we had before. Use fat meat, put it on a barbecue, and chamra chaya, really undiluted, I forgot the word, full-powered wine. Efshe l'chaya purto mafavke da besi. He might live long enough to be able to leave a last will and testament. Another thing that could happen, again, that is from the outside, is Omer Vidi Baravin, Aiman de Bala Zibura. If somebody swallows a wasp, so Michio Lochaye is certainly not going to live, but Adahachi Vahachi, while he's on his way to dying, you can give him a revius, a very strong vinegar. So Chala Shamgaz, Efshe Dachaye Purta, he might survive long enough to be Mafkid Lebeta. Omer of Yoshua ben Levi, there's other things that are combinations of dangerous issues, and if you're not careful and you end up combining them, you can really damage your health. So let's imagine a guy who eats basar shor belefet. You have some steaks with lefet, is a malafet. Obviously, an actual lefet is a turnip, but a malafet is, you know, with the whole spiel, the pickles and so on, everything that you would put on. The lan balavana, then you go sleep outdoors under the moon. And this is during the 14th or the 15th, the night of the 14th or 15th of the Tkufas Tammuz during the summer. Achazato achilu. So then you can actually be affected by the achilu monster. And what exactly does the achilu do? That we'll see. But Tana, mamamale kresu mikol davar, there's other things that can bring an achilu. If you just overeat, whatever it is that you overeat, you can also be attacked by an achilo. Omer Papa, I got to tell you, even dates. What do you mean, even dates? Why would dates be different than anything else? Well, you remember that, of course, Rav Papa has got a very soft spot in his heart for dates, you know, because, I mean, he makes his beer out of dates. And so he figured dates are so healthy. I mean, you can't go wrong with overeating dates, can you? Yes, Asagadaita Chamina, you might have thought that Oil V'Yomar Mar, Tamri, dates are like absolutely the best. They're Mazbe'on, they're Mishachanon, they're Mishalshalan, they're Ma'ashran, and they're not Befankan. So, look, they fill you up. They make you warm and cozy. They loosen your bowels. They give you a lot of energy. And they don't get you stuck on needing more and more sweet. So basically, even though they have an awful lot of sugar, they don't cause this insulin overreaction. And so you can't go wrong. You know, you eat a lot of dates. You can't overeat dates. So imalok, amash malon. Rav Papa wants you to know, you can even get an achilu from eating too many dates. What is an achilu? Omer Reb Elazar, an achilu is an eisha atzamot. What's an eisha atzamot? You know, an eishi garmi, which of course is a translation into Aramaic of eisha atzamot. So apparently there was a well-known illness that they called the eisha garmi, which is some type of burning in the joints. What do you do for this? Maya suta, omra baye, omra li em. My mommy always told me, kulo shakana, tlasa shiva vitresa. Now look, when we make up some kind of liquid medication, so the normal thing, you'll look in that little paper that tells you how many to take and how often and so on. So normally liquid medications are taken either for 3 days, 7 days, or 12 days. That's the normal dosages. Now, this, I got to tell you, does not have any limit. You keep taking it until you're completely free of disease. Furthermore, normally when we give you liquid medication, you have to take it on an empty stomach. But this one, you do not take on an empty stomach. You have to take this after you ate, after you drank, after you went to the bathroom, and you washed your hands, and then I'll tell you what you can do. So then we bring you, here's my favorite buna, but we don't have a buna kamuna yet. So a buna, a whole handful of shtita de tlafchoi. So you need to have a little bit of, they would make the shtita would be the cereal, and this was made out of lentils. Ubuna de chamra atika. You have this old wine, and also the same amount, v'nigmalino b'hadei adadei, mix them together, well, and then eat them. Now, after that, you have to wrap the guy up in some warm sheets and let him sweat it out. V'leka de nukme, do not wake this guy up. He has to wait until he wakes up by himself. When he gets up, lishkalele sedina mine, grab that sheet off of him, because if not, Hadar Eluye, it might go right back into him. So here, this is an extension of what we've seen until now, that the Chachomim give us etzes for what to eat and how to eat. Now we've got Eliyo Anovi teaching his Chavrusa how to eat also. So obviously we're talking about some serious aspect of Torah and Limud, to be able to learn how to properly behave in the world. So eat one-third of your full stomach, drink one-third, and leave one-third empty. Because that way, if anything upsets you, you're not going to suffer, and you'll end up being able to tolerate the additional squeezing of your stomach when you get upset. So l'kishetichos ta'amoda milu'echa. Then you'll feel very filled, whereas otherwise you'll get heartburn and really get sick from getting upset. Tani Rebbe Chiya, harotzeh shelo yavo lidei choli me'ayim. If you want to make sure that you don't get sick from anything that has to do with your digestive system, yeragil betibul kayitz v'choref, get yourself used to the idea of dipping your food into one of the dips. vinegar dip, a wine dip. And also, there's something that you should know, that once you realize that you are being really drawn by the pleasure of your meal, that's when to stop, because you're going to end up overeating. The moment that you feel an indication that you need to relieve yourself, run to the bathroom. Omar bar Ukva, Haiman deshati tilya chivra, al chazato vitek. So anybody who drinks this very poor quality wine, and it's a light wine, doesn't have any coloration, he ends up having a vitek. Now, vitek makes you very weak. And Omar of Chista, once we're on the subject of wine, you need to know that there are 60 different major categories of wine. And the best of them is Sumka Rechatana, and the worst of them is Tulya Chivra. So the red wines, which also have these deep aromas, by the way, these are, in terms of modern categorizations of wine, there are very, very many different types of Rechatana. Then three basic rechas in wine that you need to learn about and you need to be sensitive to, and that are appear at different stages of wine's maturation. So this idea of Sumka Rechatana is actually very contemporary. And Gria de Kulo, the absolutely worst, is the one that has no coloration, and it's the Tilia, which we just spoke about. In Omer of Yer, I'm under Yosef, Bitsafroni, Nisan, Gavinura. If you're sitting near a campfire during Nisan in the morning, and Shayef Mishcha V'Nofik V'Yosef B'Shimsha, and then you put on some skin oil, you go out and you sit in the sun, you can also catch a vitek. And Tana Rabbanan, he kiz dam v'shimesh mitato, somebody who had a bloodletting, and then he had sexual relations. Havile bonim vitkin. So children, if there's pregnancy that results from that, the children will have vitkin, so they will be very weak. He kizu shneyem v'shimshu. If both the male and the female did that at the same time, havile bonim ba'alei ra'atan. So then that's even worse. That's, again, I mean, the Gemara elsewhere talks about these things. It's a worm that can get into the brain and eats away at the brain. Okay, so pretty horrible things. Omer of Papa, all of this was said only if you didn't eat anything after you had your bloodletting. And they always give you a little glass of orange juice after they take that blood, right? So usually it wouldn't be a problem. But avotayim, midei lesam. If you had anything between the bloodletting and the relations, there would be no problem. Omer Abba Baravuna, bo min haderech. Another thing is, somebody who just got home from one of those ridiculous cigar tubes that they put rockets on the back of, and then you get home and you go sleep with your wife, not a good idea. Havile bonim vitkin. Tana Rabbanan, the same thing is true. You come out of the bathroom, al yishamesh mitato ad sheyishesh shiur chatzi mil. You should wait the chatzi mil, which is the half of the 18 minutes. Mipnei sheshed beit hakisei melaveimo. This is also part of shading, as all these things are. They have their physical side and they have their achazato side, which you grabbed by something. And the shade comes along with you. And im shimesh, having the bonim nichpim, you could have kids with epilepsy. Tana Rabbanan, hameshamesh mitato meumad, achazato avit. So somebody who has sex standing up can actually get some serious cramps out of it. Miyushav ochasto delaria, and if he does that sitting down, then he can get delaria, which not exactly clear what that means. He milamala vuhu milamata, if you switch positions, so then if she is on top, ochasato delaria, but we don't know what delaria is. My delaria. Actually, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, I can tell you how to cure it, but I can't tell you what it is. So the psalm for delaria is dardara. Always good to have dardara around. So, not very clear. Okay. My dardara. Omer Abaye, dardara is murika de chuchi. Murika is always translated as saffron, and chuchi means it's thorns. Now, I don't know if such a thing as saffron that is thorny, but it could be that it means it grows along the edge of thorns or in a field of thorns. how exactly do you use this to cure? So Rav Papa Ali Subalalai, he used to actually chew on it and swallow it. And Rav Papi, he would chew on it, but he would spit it out. Om Rabbi, Misha Eino Baki B'Derech Eretz, somebody who has a difficult time with sexual relations, so maybe has either an ejaculation problem or he has some other fertility problem. So Leisei Telas Kapize Kortame Dechochi. So what you need is three kapiza. Now, a kapiza is a pretty big thing because it's three revias itself. And now you're talking about nine revias. It's a lot. So now you bring, again, the kurtame. Kurtame is also same translation of the saffron. And you bring the kind that grew that we spoke about. But over here, it's a little bit weird because here Rashi, instead of saying chokhi, means what he said before, which is that it's with the which we understood as being along the edge of a field, mixed in a field that has thorns in it. Rashi says over here it means that it's a field that you fertilized by having sheep in it for a long time. So the sheep droppings fertilize the field. Okay, it's like apparently there was a different girsa that Rashi might have had, which is instead of chokhi would be chori. And then that would actually mean exactly that. So what you do is you grind this up, the kurtami into the wine. This is an awful lot of wine, and drink it. Om Rabbi Yochanan, I can tell you, baby, I had some trouble when I got over 100. This like put me back to being a teenager again. There's three things that really make you feel weak. Ve'eluhin. Pachad, derech, ve'avon. So pachad is things that you're worried about, and you just feel worn out from worry. So it's a constant state of anxiety. Traveling a lot, and avonot. So avonot, my own sense of the Gemara here and in different places that Chazal used this is that it does not mean thinking about avon. It means avon itself makes a person weak. But the Mefarshim explain it that it means the tsar, the regret for avon. Or it means as an onesh for avon that others learn. Okay, I can't argue. Pachad, where do we see these three things? Pachad, dechtiv, libisech, achar. As Avani Kochi, I am surrounded with troubles and I have no more strength left. Derech, dichtiv, inava derech kochi. Avon, dichtiv, kashal ba avoni kochi. So my pashtas again is that the avon itself is what's makrish. Shlosh advarim matizin gufo shel adam. There's three things that will really tear you apart. I suspect that it should say matishin. And it means it makes you weak. Ve'eluhin. Achal ma'umad, eating while you're standing. Drinking while you're standing. Sex while you're standing. These things are really debilitating. Chamisha krovim lemisa yoter min hachayim. There's five things that can get you closer to death than to life. Ve'eluhin. Achal, you eat and you jump up in the middle of eating. Shata, and you jump up in the middle of eating. You just let blood, and you jump up right away. You were sleeping, and you jump up in the middle of sleeping immediately without giving your blood pressure a chance to get back to normal in your heartbeat. Shimesh mitato, had sexual relations, jump up immediately. Those can bring you to getting a heart attack, and so on. Shisha oseotam miad mit. Now, there are six things, and if you do all of these six things as in this order, then you're going to drop dead. Be'elohim, haba baderach. You come back home from one of those cigar tubes, and you're absolutely exhausted, and you're nityaga. Hikizdam, then like an idiot, you go and you get a bloodletting on the spot. You get into a nice hot bath, and you sit there until you overheat. Nichnas lebet ha-merchatz, and then you take drinks until you get good and drunk, fall asleep on the ground, and then you have sexual relations. You're gone. Om Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, but it's only in that order. So it doesn't happen all that often, you know. Well, says Abaye, if you do it in order, yeah, then you'll drop dead. But I guarantee you, out of order, it ain't so good either. It's certainly going to weaken you. Really? It needs to be like all of these things. I mean, we know that this woman, Mu'urat, she's trying to get her Eved turned on to her and so on. So she only did three of these things to him, and he dropped dead after only three. So do you really need to do all six? Yeah, that was a sort of weak Eved. You know, she had worn him out already. Then we have eight things, which Ruban Kasher and Miyutan Yafeh. So there are things that are good for you, but too much of them is not good. So first of all, travel. Now, travel is nice, a little bit of travel. Sex is nice too, but not too much. Money is nice, but very bad when you have too much of it. Working hard, that's good, as long as you don't spend all day in the gym. Yayin, wine's good in moderation. Sleep is good in moderation. Chamin, vakazazdam, cup of coffee, bloodletting, these are all good in moderation. Overdoing it, and you kill George Washington. Shmonim amatim et hazera. Now, there's eight things that are going to definitely impact your sperm count. Ve'eluhen, too much salt. Melach, ra'av, not having enough nourishment. Having a netek on your skin, tefet saras. Being miserable, b'chia. Sheina gabe karka, sleeping on the ground. Gud gadaniyot, remember, that's one of our favorite things in the Gemara, gud gadaniyot, that I've never... I always translate it as coriander, but so this relates to the man also, but I don't know exactly what it is. Eating kashrus at the wrong time of the year when they're out of season. So kashrut shelo bizmana, that's the beer hops, remember? And hakazat dam lamata, the worst thing to your sperm count, more than any of this, is hakazat dam lamata. We'll talk about lamata, the Gemara is going to define what lamata means. So this is Tana. Kishem shekasher lamata kiflaim, the same way that letting blood below, we're going to explain what below would mean, kach yafa lamala kiflaim, but actually letting blood is very useful for sperm counts, but if it's done lamala, omrev papa, and when we talk about below and above, we are talking about below and above the testicles. So lamata is lamata min habeitzim, lamala is lamala min habeitzim, anywhere on the body. Now, when we talked about kashrut shelo bizmana, out of season hops, tana kashem shekasher shelo bizmana, kach yafa bizmana. Hops no good out of season, but very good in season. Omer of Papa, the right season for these hops is davka tamuz. And when we're talking about out of season, we're totally out of season. That's talking about teves. Now, if you're going to have hops during Nisan and Tishrei, you know, it's not going to do you any good, but it's not going to do you any harm. So I would advise coming into Papa's beer hall and having some date beer instead of this hops beer. I don't know who came up with this stuff anyway. So this would be the end of our story of the medications and so on. So, you know, yesterday where we had the comment, Yitzi is not here today with Ariel, but Ariel talked about his relative that had become frum by learning about these medicines, right? Which sounds awfully weird because these medicines don't seem to have any connection to the way that we contemporarily relate to things. This guy is an intelligent scientist who didn't find any value to any of these medicines. So why in the world? I was thinking, like, why in the world would he have become frum by researching these Gemaras for 3 years? It's really weird, isn't it? But the truth is, it isn't. And I think that this gives us another insight into the nature of what the Gemara is doing here and why it's doing it. The truth is that the Gemara spends an awful lot of time on Sichas Chulin. In other words, you know, talking about even the idiosyncrasies, the strange ways that the Chachomim and the Gemara communicate, or play games with each other, or hit each other, or insult each other, or like all kinds of funny things that yeshiva bochurim never understand. You know, it must be some kind of deep and profound secret we're giving you over and so on. We always understand that kind of thing, or kidiyamri inchi kind of things, or the sense of what it is to sit around and to be learning in the presence of these people. That we always understand, that the Gemara is there to create the Beis HaMedrash, not just to give you information. That's clear. But there's another element, which is that it, remember that the Gemara, even though we look at it differently, because unfortunately we were never zeicha to have another bezin for Kol Yisrael, as the Rambam explains. But the idea of the Gemara was putting into shape the words of this last bezin that we had for everyone, Legabi the Dinim, in which there was a minui on the halacha, and that therefore we would at least have these Pisgei halachas with us. But it's much more than that. Remember that the Torah, in any particular moment, is a slice of Torah. It's not the Torah. And that's exactly the way that the wonderful pshat of Rabbi Meir Simcha about why it is that we're in such bad shape, because of the fact that that's what we're left with. We're left with a Gemara where we're never able to be creative again. And what is necessary at each one of these points, which is halacha, that's called halacha because it's halicha. And as the Rambam explained to us in the Derech Eretz Plishtim discussion in the Maor Nevuchim, that the nature of Torah at each point is that it's a path towards something. It is not meant to provide you with truth. It's meant to provide you with a way of living in the world that will ultimately lead you to greater and greater development and to something that, obviously, the nature of truth, mamash, to a human being, the word doesn't even make sense, but to a greater and greater consonance in what it is that you are and your place in the world. Because of that, when the Rambam describes even the value of halakha, remember, in terms of Dover Katan, how does he explain the power of Dover Katan and the chashivas of Dover Katan? Not only that it's miyashev libay shel adam, tefila, but it's the teva hagdela that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us for yishuv ha'elam, which is an amazing thing, which means that all of our interactions with the world around us are part of an overall way of developing as a human being within the world. To strip the Gemara of the subconscious, to strip the Gemara of the way in which elephants relate to the roads and the trees along the way, so to speak, which is what we are as we go through life, and what we take along with us from generations before. To strip the Gemara of the idiosyncrasies, of the strangeness of human beings, of the way in which personality becomes part of the way in which a person sees the Torah itself, communicates the Torah, lives the Torah, is to strip the Torah of its life and not to be able to give you over that moment of that Sanhedrin that was giving you over the Torah. And therefore, even if it's in terms of the connection to Eliyahu HaNavi, which you would think is beyond the aspects of Elam HaZeh, it's not true. It's simply that Eliyahu HaNavi can enter at will any particular point of the development of Elam HaZeh. But it's not that it's ever beyond, because if it's beyond, then it's no longer part of the human condition. So this idea is, I think, so profound that even in just being part of listening in to the Gemara, you literally can have a yeshiva nefesh, the Torah Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nefesh, that somebody that does that, even if he doesn't even realize what's happening to him, can be profoundly affected by it. And it's not such a pillar that this would be something that happened to Ariel's relative. And imagine if Chas V'Shalom, the Gemara, our Daf Yomi, consisted of the stripped down version of the Kitzur Hadaf. You know, here's what we learned today in the Daf. It wouldn't be learning Gemara at all, right? And this is what happens to people that really, they don't learn Gemara. Instead, they think that, okay, I need to know the halacha, so I'll learn the halacha. They're completely disconnected from the entire experience, life, and it becomes the disharbe yosi ika b'shuka, doesn't change if it isn't something that is given to you from the totality of Torah. And that means that these medications are just as weird and idiosyncratic, but are just as expressive of the way that people related to the world, connected to their bodies, and were sensitive to aspects of their body. I mean, the things that the Gemara talks about are not things that we usually talk about even in polite society, a lot of this stuff. You know, all of the hang a bottle over your penis. I mean, who talks that way? It's weird, right? But this represents a completely different way of relating to myself, to my psychology, to my medical problems. So it's almost like listening in to a moment of life that includes all aspects of life along the way of human development. So I just think that we should give it a little bit more covet and willingness to experience much more than just to, you know, make a list of the medications in the Talmud, you know. That's not the point at all, I don't think. Okay, anyway, so here we are back to our Mishnah again, and having gone through the Kordiakus, when the Kordiakus was the Tzivoy, is the first part. Now we're talking about where a person of a perfectly sound mind had said Kitvu Get Lishti, and then he was grabbed by a wild Kordiakus. While he's Kordiakus'd out, he says, never mind, do not write that get for my wife. This is straight out of the Gemara. I mean, this is just... Okay, you know, I call this bait for gavis. They want it. They want it, so I have a gavi trap. So now, if the guy says, don't write that get, when he's in a state of being kordiakist out, so then, ein dvarava achronim klum. Now, there's two ways of understanding that. Rav Shimon ben Lakish says, what it means is that you can simply ignore his instructions and write that get right now. And there's no problem, because he already gave you the tzivui to write the get. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't write that get now, because right now, his brain is gone. He's kordiakist out. Ein kotvim ela kilikish yishtapeh. You need, Ariel, we just talked about you at great length, about you and your relative, and now you show up? I don't understand. You better listen. Listen to the daf so you can hear insights about your, I think it was an uncle, right? It was about your uncle yesterday, so we used it.
What's his dropping? I'm going to listen later.
Ah, okay, but were you there?
Unfortunately, well, I missed it. I'm going to listen later.
Okay, all right. So it's we thank you for the insights provided. I hope. Okay, so anyway, so over here, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't write a get when someone is not of sound mind, right? So you need das for the get. So what exactly is the machlokas? My time in the Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, the Mishnah says, ein bedvarav achronim klum. You could totally ignore these last words. What do you mean you could totally ignore? Sounds to me like that means you just go right ahead and you write that get. Klum, totally ignore it. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you could totally ignore it, but that doesn't mean you could write a get when he's not in a state for writing a get. When you say you can totally ignore it, means the lechi mitzil, when this guy's mind clears, lo tzarech lemahadrim luchibi, you don't have to ask him again, shall we write that get? Thinking, well, after all, he's been screaming, don't write the get. It doesn't matter what he's been screaming. You just simply go ahead and write the get, but you still need the das of the person in terms of his ability to be a person who's shayach to gerushin. But the olam ain't kotvim, ela kishish taper. So what exactly are they arguing about over here? So Reish Lakish says, look, when you talk about requiring das, do you mean the guy has to be awake? No. Well, I mean, if he's unconscious, how can you write a get? Wouldn't you say that, I mean, how can you write a get without the das of the baal? Who cares if he told you to write the get? So what do you see from there? That the idea of being asleep does not mean now you have lost your das. There's something that's true over here. If somebody is currently in a state in which his mind is not functional, so he's like he's unconscious. But you could still act on his behalf if he told you to. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what's happened to him is that he's essentially insane. So he's medami l'shoteh. If somebody is a shoteh, then you can't do anything for him. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, why does Rabbi Yochanan view it as a shoteh and not as someone who's asleep? Well, it's very simple. Yashen lo mechusar maisa. You don't need to do something to return a person to consciousness. He wakes up and that's it. But here, we had this whole thing that you had to do in order to cure him and get rid of the cordiacus. I mean, this is not something that's going to happen on its own. You have to eat the barbecue with the wine and so on. So that's a mechusar maisa. So if it's a mechusar maisa, it means that he's currently in a different state, not in a variable of a standard state. And Reish Lakish, so why doesn't Reish Lakish see this as being an argument that he's a shoteh? No, says Reish Lakish. A shoteh is basically out of reach. There's nothing you can do to cure that guy. If he recovers, he'll recover. But you're not going to be able to turn him back to normal. Whereas this guy, we know what to do about a cordiacus. So it's a question of the variability of consciousness, to what extent that variability is still considered within norms. That's the machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And what is that samya biyadan? Like we said, we need to have that lean meat on the barbecue together with wine that is weakened. Now, is it really true, though, that while the guy has cordiacus, the Rabbi Yochanan holds you cannot give a get? The Omer of Yoram Shmuel, Shachat po shnayim orov shnayim, v'ramaz v'amar, kitvu get li'ishti. Suppose somebody's throat was literally cut, both the kona and the veshet. This guy is in bad shape. He obviously can't say anything with a cut throat, but he indicates, give a get to my wife before I die. So harei lukat kidchdevu v'yitinu. And it says also in a brisa, that ra'u meguyad, otzalu v'alat sliva. You see a guy who's cut into pieces, or he's hanging on a cross. V'ramaz v'amar kitvu get li'ishti. Harei elu yichtevu v'yitnu. On the spot. Now, why does Rabbi Yochanan argue with the Braita? I mean, this guy is in very bad shape and it doesn't matter. What in the world are you talking about? I explained to you that the issue over here of cordiacus are the variations in consciousness. And you're talking about a guy who is extremely weak. That has nothing to do with consciousness. I mean, what kind of question? There's nothing wrong with a man's mind. It's just that he's unable to communicate and he's extremely weakened, about to die. So he's begun to sense the weakness of his death that is imminent. But this person's brain in Rabbi Yochanan's cordiacus, the man is, something's wrong with his brain. And therefore, he's not considered to be competent. By the way, what Shmuel said seems to be that if he says if you cut both the kona and the veshet, that then you could still write a get for the guy. That was Shmuel before we quoted the Braita, right? But Rav Yudam Shmuel said that in a case where shachat po shnayim, orov shnayim, ubarach, meidim alav. So somebody sees a person whose throat was cut and the guy runs away. They don't see him die. They could still come into Bezin and be made that this person died and that his wife can marry. Now, if Shmuel holds that you can write a get for him, so then how could you be made that he's dead? That doesn't make any sense. Isak daita chayu amai meidim alav. I really don't understand your question, says the Gemara. I mean, he's alive for the next 5 minutes, maybe, or 2 minutes, to give the get to his wife. What does that have to do with my coming into Besdin a month later and saying we saw this guy killed? We did see the guy killed, you know? So chayu v'sofo lamut. I don't see why. Why is that a contradiction? Okay, so let's say, if that's the case, so you're telling me that for all intents and purposes, I have actually witnessed the murder. That's what you're saying. Because, I mean, there's no question. When I come into court a month later, I'm saying I saw this guy being killed. Not I saw this guy in a situation which I'm assuming he died, right? So then that means this is a murder. And if it's a murder, so if this happens by accident, and somebody does this to someone, throws a knife or whatever, so why doesn't he go into Arei Miklat based on this? Why does it say in the Braita, Alama Tanya, that if Shogeg, someone was Shogeg B'Shnayim or Rov Shnayim, he is not going to be Geila? That's not a Kasha, because you forgot what Rav Hoshaya talked about on that Braita. He explained it. Ait Marala, Omer Rebbe Hoshaya. That's because Chashinan Shema Ruach Bilbalato, Inami Hu Kirevet Mitato. So, look, you need, in order to be able to pasken murder, you need to be able to rule out other elements that were part of this person's death. Now, suppose he died more quickly because he was thrashing around on the ground. Now, that certainly could have affected him. So then he was makar of his own death. Or let's imagine a situation in which he was outdoors and there was a wind and that now made it worse, you know, blowed some sand or air into the wound. So that doesn't mean he's not going to die. It's just the question is who's responsible for the death, right? Is there a difference between the two explanations, like thrashing around or whether Ruach Bilbalta? Yes, of course. There's a logistical difference. Let's imagine that this accident took place inside of a closed home in which there's no air coming in. It's a house that's essentially marble, you know? So in other words, there's no fresh air coming in, but the guy was thrashing on the floor. So then we would say, okay, so then the thrashing may have been makarev. Or there might be the opposite. Somebody's throat was cut outdoors and he didn't move. In that case, according to the issue about thrashing, that wasn't the issue. But according to the understanding that the Ruach Bilbalto, it would still be a reason in which we couldn't be mechayev him as a murderer. Next piece in the Mishnah. How about if the guy gets a stroke and he can't talk? And he's nishtatek va'amrulo, so we tell the guy, nichtov get li'ishtecha, should we write a get for your wife? So this guy is in very bad shape. He's got a stroke. He's paralyzed. The doctors are telling him, you know, you don't have long to live. We ask him, do you want to give a get to your wife, save her from Yibum, whatever? And he answers by moving his head. So we said if he answers yes three times and says no three times, and it's the correct answer that we expect, so then on that basis, we can assume that he knows what he's doing. I don't understand. How do we, if the person is having a stroke, I mean, it's also very likely that there's involuntary movements that are going on. I mean, if the guy's shaking his head, you know, maybe if you told him, should we cut your nose off and stuff it in your mouth, the guy will still be shaking his head. I mean, I'm like, what do you mean? You got a yes to a yes. Of course you got a yes to a yes. The guy can't stop moving his head. Or maybe he can't stop making a no sign with his, I don't know. So, Leimush, why don't we worry about Dilma Shichya, the Lav Nakte, or Shichya, the Ein Nakte? I mean, it could be that this guy got some kind of, because of the problems in his brain, there may be motor issues that are moving his head up and down or back and forth. I mean, I don't know. Omrev Yosef, Aminyum, Omrev Nachman, no. Obviously, what we do is we test him, Biseirugin. We don't, like, just sit around asking all the yes, yes, yes questions. So we alternate. Well, I mean, you've never heard of alternating motor problems? I don't know. You watch a lot of little infants and they go. So they do exactly that. And it's just sort of fun to move your head. I mean, it could be that he's just moving his head alternately. How are you so certain that it's a response? Well, because we're not that stupid. We don't let it become a pattern. We ask him, let's say, one no, two yeses, two nos, one yes. We want to make sure that these are responses so that we don't have any kind of reasonable pattern. That's what we're talking about. Debate Rabbi Shmuel Tana. What we can do is we can actually give him a test to see how aware he is of the situation. So let's say, we ask him about things that are summer things in the winter, and we see whether he looks at us like we're crazy or vice versa. winter things during the summer. Well, what do you mean? I mean, winter things, you mean we ask him if he wants to wear a coat? Should we bring you your coat? And it's 90 degrees in the room. Is that what you mean? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the guy got a chill. I mean, the guy has a stroke. Who knows? Or ask him whether you should bring him some light linen pajamas because and it's freezing cold. Yeah, maybe he's got a fever. I mean, how does that prove anything? So leichesh dilma kora agde or inami chama agde? No, it's talking about peros. It's talking about, remember, in those days, if you ask a guy, shall we bring you a peach in the middle of the winter? And he says, yeah, the guy's out of his mind. So, okay, those are things that are so seasonal that it shows that he doesn't know what he's talking about if he responds inappropriately to a seasonal fruit. Okay, Rabosai, another exciting day of Gittin, other exciting days of the fascinating issues of relationships to things in Gittin, as we'll see when we get to the Siyum of Gittin, which is why this was such a nice place to talk about the overall structure of relationships and to be pursued, Bezrat Hashem, if we're Zocha to meet again. And that would be wonderful. It could be as early as tonight for those who learn the Mesil Sisharim, Bezrat Hashem. And if not, we'll see you in the morning, hopefully. Kol Tov, everyone. Thank you so much.